It's drinking season. When the weather gets warm, I want to drink alcohol and be bad. And I love trying new bars. Today in CityCast Las Vegas, I'm with Samantha Gemini Stevens, food and loathing podcast co-host and editor-in-chief of NeonNews.Vegas. And we're going to talk about all the new bar openings you should check out and a couple of old faves we still love. It's Thursday, April 11th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Right, Gemini. I think of bars in like three categories. Like, do I want beer, wine, or cocktails? So do you have some favorites in each of those categories?
I do. And most of them are new or at least new-ish.
Okay, let's hear it.
So wine right now, I feel like wine bars are kind of jumping up all over Vegas. People are really paying more attention to their wine lists. So, you know, for a long time and well-deserved, they were up for a James Beard last year. Garage East. Was our sole wine only spot, right? And Ada's Food and Wine in Tivoli Village was coming up after COVID. They're doing really well. They have food and things like that, so it's more of like a restaurant. And Ferraro's is a longtime staple for anybody talking about wine. If you're going to talk about older places, places that have cemented their place here, but now we've got two new ones opening up basically the past couple of weeks. Wino. W-I-N-E-A-U-X, opened at the Uncommons. Yeah, exactly. they've opened up at the Uncommons. I believe that's Chef Sean McLean.
Okay.
And I haven't been in there yet, but I've been paying attention to social media. I'm going in this week, so I'm super excited. They're going to have share plates and nibbles and all kinds of things, but they are super wine focused. Mm-hmm. And another one that I went to soft opening on Saturday, a couple weeks ago, is Crush Pad. And Crush Pad is being brought to us by Brian Dinda and his wife, Jessica. And I met him when he worked at Ada's. I knew him when he worked at Garage East. And now he's opened his own space in the old cellar, French cellar by Partage space on Sahara.
Okay.
So cool. For wine, I mean, the options are getting better and better all the time. And they're more focused all around town versus like one or two spots, which I really like because I sometimes feel like living on the West Side, I live far away from everything.
Yeah, I hear that. And you know what? Yeah, speaking of old ones, oldies but goodies, I really do still love Garage East, especially because
of course.
Being from the East, I really miss cider. And they always have really excellent ciders, both from around the world and sort of American ciders as well. We're not a big apple region, but I really like to dip back into a good cider sometimes.
Absolutely.
So what about beer? Any good beer bars out there?
Yes. So not brand new, but still really catching everybody's attention is Silver Stamp down on Imperial, I think it is. And so they are doing really, really well. There are places that are focusing on beer, but aren't necessarily new. I know there's like this pop-up one I think is happening. I read about it on their website called Chin Chin MF Beer Bar. They're supposed to be opening in the old Neon Desert space on, I believe it's Main Street. Neon Desert is now in the old Bad Beat in Henderson. So I haven't had any of their stuff yet. I think it's coming soonish. And my understanding is that it's more of a pop-up thing right now. So I'm looking forward to that. Cerveza does a really good job. They're also in the Arts District.
Right. I walked by there on St. Patrick's Day and they were
hopping. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all kinds of in.
And other than that, and then Bob Barnes, who is another food writer here in town, is super into the beer scene. He's definitely one to watch for his columns and things like that, especially on beer and things like that. And Hola Habibi, which took over the Three Sheets built beer bar space in the Arts District over on California and Commerce, like almost on that corner, is a cocktail and hookah bar, but they also have a huge beer selection. So while new beer bars aren't necessarily popping up, there are new beer selections available to people. Most of the stuff that's opened recently, however, is cocktail bars.
Yeah, okay. I love a good cocktail.
Yeah.
So let's hit that. Like who's doing some interesting stuff out there?
Oh, let's do it. Okay. So Toto Bien in Uncommons.
Okay.
Just opened up. They call themselves sort of this like tequiria, mezcal tiki bar. It's not as tiki as someone would think when you hear the word tiki. Like, there's some assumptions that come with that, but it's a beautiful space. It's dark and comfortable, and, you know, there's plush stuff to sit on, and it's sort of an indoor-outdoor space with like those big garage doors that open.
Oh, I love that. Yes. This is what I'm talking about, this warm weather drinking.
Right?
I just want to spend a naughty afternoon.
We should be recording this on a patio with cocktails
somewhere. Yes. And, you know, just so people know, Uncommons is not Durango, but close to it and sort of synonymous with it. And it's also not the food hall within the Uncommons. There are also these sort of separate little space cubbies around there, too.
Yeah, okay. The Sundry is part of the Uncommons. The Uncommons is not part of the Sundry. Yeah, the Sundry is the food hall.
Okay, great.
So, and because there's so many places to eat and drink over there, Toda Bien is a great place. They're open 3 in the afternoon, and then on the weekends a little earlier, they go until late. I was able to taste some of their cocktails recently, and they use all kinds of beautiful things like carrots and mangoes, and they've got great selection of tequila and mezcals. And they've got a few other things for people who don't particularly like agave spirits. So definitely check them out. Really fun place. I love the decor. I just don't know that I would call it tiki the way some of it's been written.
Sure. Maybe a little rebrand. You know, that's actually kind of perfect for my next question, because sometimes I'm not craving a certain type of drink. I'm craving a certain type of space.
Yeah.
So like, you really paint the picture where it's like garage door. I can see myself there. The breeze is blowing. It's 4 p.m. It's Friday. Like, you know, I think I'm starting my night there, but I'll probably end up ending my night there.
Right.
So like, what are some good spaces? Like, that's exactly also when I would sit at the bar and like right when they open and like talk to the bartender a little bit and like get their recommendations. Just have a chill time and like a really like hot cocktail spot. That's how I like to appreciate them. So what are some, especially with all the new cocktail bars, what are some other different vibes?
You know, I really like the sort of casual but hyper-focused beauty of the drinks at Liquid Diet in the Arts District.
Oh, yes. I've been there once. It was a very cold and windy night.
It was. And you kind of have to like go through a back alley to get there.
Yes.
And
I was like, is this where my life ends, in this back alley trying to find what bar David Figler is in?
Oh, my gosh.
But I could tell that they have a really nice patio area out back, even though it was the middle of the winter. I'm like, ooh, this is going to be really nice.
Yeah, we were there for a birthday party in December. And so it was cold, it was windy, it was a little rainy. But one of the things I love that they do is they really come up with creative ways to do these cocktails. They've got an Indian flavor based cocktail going on right now. And you get this shot of like clear mango lassi to go with it. They are known.
David lived down. He had like a horseradish shot, and then it was like a tomato shooter next to it. And it was like this clear tomato essence next to it. It was
so
really pretty wild. Yeah.
And they're really, people are loving their Pico de Gallo Michelada right now. So if like you're a beer person and you don't really do the vodka Bloody Mary thing, you could do a Michelada and get a lot of those same flavors. And they make all their own stuff. They do all their own infusions. They do all of that. So super creative. The vibe I really like, because it's kind of old plushy furniture that like somebody went vintage shopping, and there's doors that are tables. So you have to kind of watch where you set your drink so it doesn't go into like a crevice or something.
Yeah.
But the bar is really cool too, because you can see into that kitchen that they have.
Yeah,
they're doing all this super cool work.
If you can get that spot at the bar, which I really do love. Yes, I love watching the bartenders, these complex cocktail places, do all that super cool work. All right. So what about some interesting spaces outside of downtown Las Vegas?
You know, the Bel Air Lounge for a lovely cocktail. And I'm going to say before 4 p.m. on a Friday. This is like midweek, midday. Mm-hmm. You just need like a little break. It's not about doing the three martini lunch.
Sure.
But it's at the Durango. It's absolutely beautiful. If I remember, because I parked in the back, it's sort of near the front of the hotel. It's super bright. It's super open.
Yes, I love the natural light in the Durango.
Isn't
it's
that
amazing?
Awesome. The natural light is kind of my favorite part so far. And this space is just, it's sort of this really quiet elegance. It's, you can go in super casual or you can go in dressed to the nines. They have like what they call the backyard, which I believe is connected to the pool. The cocktails and the bites are fantastic. Mm. And again, you might be inside, but you get that sort of indoor outdoor vibe. And
yeah,
this
that.
Is the season for it. So
yeah,
enjoy that natural light. You can have a meeting there. You can just meet up with a friend and then go out with the go on with the rest of your day. And evenings, they darken everything a little bit. It's more loungy. And it's just a really nice space.
So, okay, I know Wave is like, let's leave the Arts District. But what is going on with the Colorado, that big newish building that just opened up?
Yeah, so they're still putting in a bunch of restaurants and drinking places. Mm-hmm. Last updates on the website, they still are only listing Bar Ginza, which is a Japanese-focused whiskey bar in the Colorado. And it's lovely. It's not a huge room, but they've got a massive selection of stuff to choose from. Mm-hmm. And the bartenders are really fun. Like, we went in there just last month, and one of my girlfriends drinks basically scotch and nothing else if she's drinking mm-hmm. hard liquor. And so she said, well, these are the kind of flavors that I want. And he didn't hit it quite on the nose, but he really made an effort to find something that would fit into what she enjoyed. Because I find that even some of us that consider ourselves a little bit of a whiskey snob don't always know that much about Japanese whiskey. And
yes, so definitely.
I love that there's a focus on it, because it's sort of this slightly unknown, exotic thing, and bringing it to the forefront and making it something that people can really enjoy and taste the differences in so many things. It's not just rye, bourbon, and scotch. There's so much more to it. And I really appreciate that.
So what do you feel like are some of the big trends happening with drinking spaces in Las Vegas right now?
Not a good trend, in my opinion. And I'm going to catch some flack for this. I know it.
I love it. Spill it.
Speakeasies. I'm done.
Oh my God. I'm so over it. This isn't just Las Vegas.
Yeah, part of me loves it because I love that, like, you would think of like downtown cocktail room where it's like kind of close and it's dark and you can just have your own little sort of intimate space and conversation and bubble. It's not secret if it's freaking advertised everywhere. It's not secret if everybody knows where it is.
This
and
is
the whole
trend.
Point of a speakeasy is that it's this sort of underground.
Yes.
You got to know somebody. Like when the Commonwealth first opened the laundry room, you kind of had to know somebody. You had to find a way to get the phone number.
Yeah.
You had to mention the teeny tiny clothespin that they had. Like,
but also,
there were so many.
Great way to run a business. I mean, I know that it's like this idea of exclusivity and like adventure.
That's a huge draw.
But this is really a trend that I thought was going to die like 10 years ago. It's been going on since like I moved to New York in the aughts, and I was a little bit like, okay. I mean, also, I'm glad you said this too, because I thought that my irritation was just as a food historian, because I was like, speakeasies were very particular. They're illegal bars. They definitely still exist in the world, but not in this capacity.
No.
And you know what? In the actual 1920s speakeasies, the drinks were shit. They were made from like brown colored grain alcohol. Like, cocktail culture is being lost. It was
bathtub
a miserable
gin.
Time. It's not a time that we should be celebrating. Okay, Gemini, here's what I want. I want a naughty oddies bar. Not the 2000s, but the 19-aughts are an underrated time period. And that's when cocktail culture was absolutely peaking. And like, culture in America was surprisingly, like, open. Like, there were a lot of, like, queer entertainers. Like, naughty oddies bar, I give the idea to the world.
I love it. Somebody do this and name a cocktail Sarah Loman.
Thank you.
You also lose that great vibe that you think you're creating in this intimate space when I walk in and you tell me I have 90 minutes to drink and get out.
Ugh, I've been to so many speakeasy bars here, and every time I'm just like, ugh. Like, I'm irritated by the time I get in, because it's like, there's an intercom and no one can hear you, or I have to like, oh my God, the one in Mandalay Bay, which is not even designed as a speakeasy, it's called a prohibition bar, but it's like this really hilarious, you know, like pretty normal, like you're in the Forum Shops hallway with a fake... an obviously fake bookshelf, but the bookshelf has a velvet rope in front of it. Like, okay. Okay, but A trend I am pretty excited about is I do love tiki, and I love modern tiki. I love that we're getting away from some of the like very questionable racist aspects of tiki, and we're doing things like at Stray Pirate.
Chris Gutierrez and Stray Pirate. Yes,
but it's pirate dogs. Like, I love this totally different direction. What
and
do you
know
think?
That the decor actually tells a story.
No, I
hadn't. It's something
that,
about
that
being
far.
Captured and like being turned into dogs or something like that. There's a whole story behind the vibe and the decor that Chris Gutierrez is trying to tell. And it's just all in fun and it's amazing.
I had a Moscow Mule variation there that was made with rum, and their like house-made ginger beer was so like aggressive.
Yes.
Like I sneezed, and that is what I want.
Yeah.
This is a compliment.
Yes.
This is exactly what I want out of it. I loved how intensely gingery it was. So is there anything that you think that the Vegas bar scene is missing?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because we've really embraced places that, you know, we've got so many places that do super classic cocktails. I mean, going back into the 17 and 1800s, not just like what you call the Naughty Oddies, there's whiskey bars and there's wine bars. Mm. I would really love something to be super like gin focused. I think gin is really overlooked.
Yeah, especially coming into the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. It's a mm-hmm. great poolside starter. I think I would like more places that offered the sort of indoor-outdoor space that weren't always, you know, you have to wait in line. You know, maybe a cocktail doesn't have to cost you $20 just because we live in Las Vegas.
They're creeping in terms of that price. Yeah.
And, you know, we've embraced so many things. I love that we're getting more music venues. I would like to see maybe a few more that are not strip related. Fat Cat in downtown Grand, which is related to blues and cocktails and all kinds of fun stuff. And they have like vinyl nights and things like that. That kind of vibe I really enjoy, where you can, there's probably a little bit of something for everybody. You know, the list doesn't have to be super extensive, but you can have that sort of chill vibe. You can, you know, play a part in figuring out what the music is going to be that night. I love that kind of thing. I just think that we need to remember with all these new openings that people still live in Vegas. We're not all tourists.
Yeah.
And with that, it hits that creeping up on the prices thing, but it also hits the, not everything has to be neon and over the top and, you know, only cater to like the influencer personnel. And I get it. You know, I get invited to these things. I'm taking a lot of video and photos and I'm sharing things and I'm writing about things. But I want more places where I can just call a friend and say, hey, it's Tuesday afternoon and Crush Pad or whatever opens at 3:00. Let's go have a cocktail. Let's go have a drink. Let's go, you know, whatever. And it doesn't have to be far away and it doesn't have to be in a casino. And I just want things to be a little more local focused. I feel like we started getting there and we're sort of slipping away a little bit with all these new openings of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're bringing people off the strip and into our neighborhoods, but I feel a little bit like we're edging people out because not everybody wants to pay those kind of prices.
Yeah.
I feel like we have a really good core. But I feel like with that edging up of prices and with everything being in these fancy spaces, we're kind of losing that local bar thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I live down by Water Street and it is like a bar strip and there's a great old dive bar there. There's some great breweries on there. But I do still feel like it's missing something else. It's a lot of sports bras. It's a lot of sports bras. It's a lot of sports bars. Like, I would love, like, a cocktail joint down there. I would love, like, a beer bar there. I'd like a little bit something else, too, that does have that vibe of, like, hey, it's Saturday. Do you want to just, like, meet up on Water Street and, like, go get a drink? But, you know, I should mention, too, I am Tiki Di Amore is the seasonal cocktail bar behind an Italian restaurant.
Yes, Casa Di Amore.
I haven't been yet. So if that's not open yet, it's definitely like on my to-do list.
It's really, I like it. It's a super tiny space, but everybody has always been super welcoming. It almost has this like backyard pool tiki vibe to it, which is really kind of nice because it's super casual, super comfortable. And you just said something that really hit me, like, you know, I think a lot more places also need to start offering more food. They don't have to be full-blown restaurants, but something more, you know, than a charcuterie board or something. And I know that there's things in licensing, so don't come
you
at me for that. I understand.
To sit there. Yeah. Like, hey, do you want to get a little food? Yeah, let's get some
food. Let's
like,
get it. Let's,
these are like the best summer afternoons that like turn into early evenings.
Yeah. I don't necessarily want to have to order like entrees for the group, but I kind of want more than just your typical cheese snack or pretzels or whatever it is that they're putting out on the bar.
I mean, as far as local vibes down here, like I think Mojave Brewing is actually my favorite down on Water Street.
I love Mojave. It's
indoor, outdoor, like the, oh my God, the just the staff and the people, just there's always cute dogs. Like,
and the story behind the building and how they've built out the vault more now.
Yes.
And I love it.
If y'all haven't been, like, it's definitely worth it. It might become your favorite, like, new old bar, too. What's your, like, new old bar in Vegas that you're still loving? What is your, like, it's 3 p.m. on a Saturday, I'm going to text my friend?
If I'm going new old bar or somebody's visiting me from out of town for, like, mostly classic cocktails, and I'm talking, like, 60s, 70s, 80s classics, not Naughty Oddies, but not, like, super molecular and all of that.
Right.
The bar at Hugo's Cellar in the Four Queens. Dean behind the bar has been there for 20 years.
Oh, great.
And he's still super young. So, I mean, I think he started when he was 12. And, you go in, you ask for Manhattan, you ask for a Negroni, an old fashioned, you know, something like that. He'll do it up in the right glassware and, you know, you get this carafe of cocktail. Like, it's amazing. Super tiny bar, 5 to 7 seats. And then there's a couple of little tables because it's mostly just an entry for the restaurant. Okay. But super fun. One of our favorites.
Well, Gemini, thank you. I mean, that place is wonderful. We really have to hit some of these new places together.
Oh, I would love that.
Okay. All right. I'll send you a text at 3 p.m.
Okay, cool.
on Saturday.
That sounds great.
All right. Thanks, Gemini.
You're welcome. This is fun.
That's all for today here in CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed this show, send it to a friend. Take them out for a drink. Talk about this episode. And by the way, you should subscribe to our morning newsletter too for all kinds of other recommendations of places to eat and drink. We will be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care.